Amen. We want to hear from the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank the Lord for everything that has taken place on today. We thank God for His presence, His anointing, and His Spirit that we're able to feel in the house of the Lord. Well, before we get into the Word of God, I want to give my 2024 International Assembly report and takeaways. As you know, we came out of our assembly on August the 4th. It was July 30th through August the 4th, and it was a wonderful, wonderful assembly. And so the 102nd International Assembly of the Church of God of Prophecy, which was held in Orlando, Florida, from July 31st through August the 4th, is now history. And many of you were able to attend this assembly. And you can access the video archives at cogopassembly.org. Also, you may view the 2024 through 2026 appointments there. The Wednesday morning session of the 102nd International Assembly included worship, an opening challenge from Dr. Brian Sutton, prayer for the assembly business, and reports from the Finance Director, Corporate Board, and Finance and Stewardship Committee. The Wednesday afternoon session of the Assembly included reports from the Finance and Stewardship Committee and the Biblical Doctrine and Polity Committee. The Wednesday evening session of the Assembly included the Parade of Nations, the Florida Sunshine Band, worship, and sermon by Dr. Gabriel Vidal. The Thursday morning session included morning prayer, the continuation of business from day ago, and the deceased minister's tribute, and the bishop ordination service. And before the business began on Thursday, August the 1st, Bishop Brian Sutton preached an outstanding sermon on relational business in the church. There were many noteworthy statements, and I'd like to reiterate two of them. Quote, perhaps our greatest concern when considering the business of the church is not our preparation for the argument, but our posture for relating to each other and receiving from God. Secondly, quote, while doing the work of God, there must be an ever-deepening desire to join God in His mission at the cost of our own wills, our lives, and even our comfort, end quote. The Thursday evening session, August the 1st, included worship, the Bahama National Children's Choir, a greeting by the Church of God General Overseer, Dr. Gary Lewis, and a sermon by Pastor Jensen Franklin. The Friday morning, August 2nd session included the Western Theological Seminary conferring a Doctor of Divinity on Bishop Adrian Varlack, a well-deserved honor, and we are so proud of him. Also, there was a sermon by Bishop Gary Smith and a leadership presentation by Dr. John Wagnerveld. The Friday evening session of the assembly included the White Wings Messenger 100 celebration, worship, the assembly mass choir, and a sermon by Reverend Gia Roberts, and she did an outstanding job. And then Miami Ridgeway's own Anquette Clark led a song at the International Assembly with the Assembly Mass Choir. Let's give Sister Anquette a hand. She did a tremendous, tremendous job, and she made us proud. On Saturday, August the 3rd, in his visionary biannual address to the 102nd International Assembly of the Church of God of Prophecy, presiding Bishop Tim Coulter announced the creation of a third entity to International Offices Operations, the Division of Global Communications. Drawing inspiration from Acts chapter 2, Bishop Coulter emphasized the importance of church ministries at all levels. Effectively communicating across cultural and linguistic barriers. The work of the International Office's Global Communications Department will help us become fluent in the languages of today and tomorrow so that every man, woman, boy, and girl will hear in their own language the wonderful works of God, he stated. Bishop Coulter celebrated the recent transition of the church's official publication, The White Wing Messenger, from print to digital format. This move has enabled free access to the magazine for everyone with internet connectivity. He noted the shift to a digital format as a pivotal movement or a moment in the magazine's history, ensuring its relevance and reach for future generations. Concluding his section on communications, Bishop Coulter shared a call for bilingual ministers. He encouraged those in the audience, especially the young who were present, to embrace language learning, believing it can enhance ministry effectiveness both locally and globally. Citing statistics from various countries, this call underscored the value of language proficiency in preaching, teaching, and communicating directly with diverse audiences. As these ministry initiatives continue to form and take shape, additional details will be shared on the church's website and social media pages, he stated. Bishop Coulter made two other profound statements, and I'd like to quote those. The first was, this church must guard against becoming a Pentecostal movement in name only, end quote. Also, he quoted, this second one, we will accomplish more with passion than we will with position, end quote. According to the 102nd International Assembly Corporate Board report dated July 31st, 2024, with regards to the sale of the former Thomason College property, on March 20th, 2024, the Church of God of Prophecy finalized the sale of the former Thomason College campus property to Kate Brothers Development, a real estate development company from Cleveland, Tennessee. The agreed upon purchase price for the property was $4,400,000. This amount was above the appraised market value of $3,864,000. After deducting closing costs and taxes associated with the sale, the church received proceeds in the amount of $4,387,373.43. There was a salvation report given for, there was 218,546 salvations experiences since June 1st of 2022, which was our last assembly, which was held in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, to this point. With regards to international office appointments, I want to make sure that you're mindful of these appointments. These are our new appointments. Joy Hinsley is the new International Director of Children's Ministries. And Bishop Sean McKinley is the Executive Director of the Global Communications Ministry, which is the brand new ministry that was implemented during our International Assembly. And then, of course, the church welcomed Bishop Mike Morgan to the North American leadership team as Regional Bishop of Ohio, West Virginia. The church welcomed Bishop Jose Arna to the North American leadership team as regional bishop of Alaska, Washington. And then I do not have a slide on this one. The church welcomed Bishop Dr. Woodley Thompson to the Caribbean and Atlantic Ocean Islands leadership team as national bishop of the Bahamas. And then there were a few reports given on church growth. The Church of God of Prophecy in North America is alive and growing. During the International Presbytery meeting, General Presbyter Brian Sutton and several regional state bishops shared reports of many new churches planted as part of the Multiple 2030 initiative. This initiative seeks to equip leaders and mobilize resources to plant 500 new churches and establish 2,000 healthy churches by 2030. We praise God that over the past 2 years, 89,700 people have come to Christ as a result of our Spirit-empowered ministries in North America. During that same period, 79,632 reported being sanctified and 20,565 were baptized in water. We rejoice that 81,642 men, women, boys, and girls receive Holy Spirit baptism since June of 2022. We thank God for the move throughout North America. And during the opening session of the International Presbytery meeting, the Africa General Presbyter James Kowali shared some of what God is doing through the ministries in Africa. In his report, he shared that 395 new churches have been established in the past 2 years, and church membership has increased by 48,027. Since June 2022, 52,106 people have accepted Christ as Savior, 49,125 have been sanctified, 19,242 have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, 19,239 have been baptized in water, and we rejoice with Africa for what God has done. And as you are aware, our mission nation, Sierra Leone, is in the region of Africa. Bishop Issa Lamin Bangora serves as oversight in this area under the leadership of the General Presbyter of Africa, Bishop James Kolawali. This area reports having 10 churches, 1,134 members, 2 missions, and 1 licensed minister. The following is a progress report from the National Bishop of Sierra Leone. Greetings to our harvest partners, friends, and prayer partners around the world. I acknowledge it has been a while without reaching out on activities and how God has been blessing us through you, which I regret. The work in Sierra Leone is on the right path as our ministers are doing their best to reach out to their communities with the gospel of Christ. Those that answer the call of repentance are baptized and added to our local churches. In developing these local churches, regular trainings and teachings in line with the Church of God of Prophecy mandates and vision are being conducted for all auxiliary groups, group leaders, special departments, and pastors to get them fit for ministry work and daily challenges in life. We continue to appreciate our harvest partners and friends for helping us along with some of our biggest challenges. We are glad to let you know that the children continue with their elementary education and are doing well. Those in the tech training are also graduating from from tailoring and catering institutions. Within the past academic year, we supported our National Sunday School Director in pursuing law in the University of Sierra Leone and a few other students in other areas of studies. Our national office construction project is still ongoing. We also continue to thank our local church members for their contributions in reaching our goals so far. In order to protect both our schools, Thomason High School and the Church of God of Prophecy Elementary School in Sango, which has over 10 acres of property, the church, through the dear Bishop Reed, has started their own construction, which is a great blessing. Completing this project with a parsonage for a pastor to station there will prevent encroachers from occupying this piece of heritage. At the end of the rainy season, there was a need for us to reconstruct the Waterloo Church as it was constructed with bamboo sticks, which were damaged. We ask for your prayer for support to develop the Waterloo Church as it is located in a strategic community in the rural area in Freetown. We are still fighting beliefs with other ministries and faith-based organizations on how to redirect our schools based on our beliefs and vision. The education secretary comes around to our school authorities every quarter to make sure that the right things are being done. Please continue to pray for our pastors and evangelists in the field. Thank you very much for your concern and love for the work in our nation. Thank you for your continued generosity and support, your support for our church family in Sierra Leone. They are deeply grateful for your love, encouragement, prayers, and faithful support during this season. And this is from Bishop Isa Lamin Bangora, National Bishop of Sierra Leone. And we are grateful for the opportunity to support a nation that is committed to their faith in Christ and the work of God's kingdom in the earth. And so, in an effort to embrace the vision of our presiding bishop, Bishop Tim Coulter, effective immediately, our theme for the remainder of this year and probably into next year will be moving forward on mission. Moving forward on mission. And with that, we are ready to get into the Word of God. I want to direct your attention to the book of St. Mark, St. Mark chapter 1. Well, I will commence reading at verse number 39 and conclude with verse number 42. St. Mark chapter 1, verses 39 through 42. And the word of the Lord declares, "And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Today I want to title this text, Moved with Compassion. Moved with Compassion. There is a story that is told of a puppy that nobody wanted. There was a little boy who went into a store and he saw a sign that said, "Puppies for sale." And so the little boy went inside to take a look. The man inside the pet shop showed him five little puppies who were ready now to leave their mother. They were about the most adorable dogs you would ever want to see. And the little boy said, "How much are they?" The man replied, "Some are $50, some are even more." The little boy reached into his pocket and pulled out some change. After counting it, he said, "I have $1.47. "Well, I'm afraid I can't sell you one of these puppies for $1.47, little boy. You'll have to save your money and come back next time we have more puppies for sale." About that time, the pet store owner's wife brought out another puppy that had been hidden in the back of the store. It was smaller than the other puppies and had a bad leg. It couldn't stand up very well, and when he tried to walk, it limped very badly. "What's wrong with that puppy?" asked the little boy. The pet store owner explained that the veterinarian had examined the puppy and had discovered it didn't have a hip socket. It will always limp and always be lame. "Oh, I wish I had the money to buy that puppy," exclaimed the little boy with excitement. "That's the puppy I would choose." "Well, that puppy is not for sale, son, but if you really want him, I'll just give him to you for no charge." But the little boy got quite upset at this. He looked straight at the pet store owner and said, "No, I don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth every bit as much as the other dogs you have for sale. I'll give you $1.47 now, and I'll give you 50 cents a month until I have paid for the dog in full." The pet store owner was perplexed. "You don't really want to spend your money on this little dog, son. He's never going to be able to run and play with you like the other puppies." Then the little boy reached down and rolled up his pant leg to reveal his badly twisted, crippled left leg supported by a big metal brace. He looked up at the store owner and said, "Mister, I don't run and play too good myself. I figure this little puppy is going to need someone like me who understands." Scripture says that you were bought with a price. Jesus paid a very high price for you and me. When he went to the cross of Calvary, when he bled and died, he paid a huge price for you and me. Scripture says that Jesus paid a very high price for you when he went to the cross, and he did it because he loves us just the way we are. And he understands what you and I are going through. As it says in the book of Isaiah, he was the suffering servant who bore our iniquities. He took all of the pain we deserved upon himself. He took our pain, our sickness, our defeat, our discouragement. He took it all upon himself on Calvary's cross. You may think nobody likes you, but Jesus died for you. You may think that you've been rejected, you've been put in the back of the store, you've been cast aside, but Jesus cares about you. Your name may not ever be called, but I come to tell you that Jesus is concerned about you. Maybe suffering, going through difficult times, and through all of that, you can be sure that Jesus understands. He knows exactly how you feel. Deep down inside, all of us will have to admit that we long for someone who really cares about us, someone who cares about our suffering. But there is another way to handle our pain. There is another way to deal with the disappointment and emptiness of life. You can handle it with Jesus. After everyone else has written you off, Jesus cares. The Old Testament says that the Lord is full of compassion. But the New Testament delivers the one who administers that compassion, and that one is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus of Nazareth. He is the one who delivers compassion. Compassion is expressed not just through feelings, but also actions. Jesus teaches us that our compassionate feelings come from inside of us, the inner man. But Jesus always had an outward action for the inward compassion. Jesus taught that if you are moved to compassion, then you ought to move. God's greatest expression of compassion was with the incarnation, when he sent his only begotten Son to redeem all of mankind back to himself. He sent Jesus to bridge the gap, to become the go-between between God and man. He became the scapegoat. He became the last Adam. He became our Messiah. He became our great I am. He became the bishop of our soul. Jesus' greatest expression of compassion was on the cross of Calvary, when he allowed himself to be punished for the sins of the world, and then said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So today I want to talk to you about being moved with compassion. As seen through the ministry of Jesus, his compassion for the lost and the outcast, his compassion to teach, and his compassion to heal. Which brings me to the first principle in my message, and I'll be through shortly. Compassion for the lost and the outcast. We must be moved with compassion for the lost and the outcast. As Christians, as those of us who are called into ministry, we must be moved with compassion that goes beyond who you are. Compassion says that you are empathetic towards someone else and what they are going through. That you're not just concerned or focused solely upon what you're going through, but compassion says that you are empathetic towards someone else's struggle. That you are concerned so much so that you're willing to come alongside of them and pray with them and really encourage them and really ask them what's going on in their lives. And not only that, real godly compassion says that whatever they share with you remains confidential. That's true compassion. That whatever they tell you, you'll carry it to the grave. There is no greater demonstration of evangelism than in the life of Jesus Christ, who we see it in our text taken from the book of Mark today, but we also see it throughout the Gospels in story after recorded story as Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. Wherever people of faith were hurting, Jesus responded to their needs. And notice that I said people of faith. Jesus could not heal those without faith, because faith was and still is the key that unlocks the door. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. The evangelistic movement in the church today is based on the compassion of Jesus. Because of his love and compassion for the world, Christ has called for laborers who will be sent forth into the harvest. Thus, global mission outreach programs and all the efforts to feed and clothe the outcasts of the world are motivated by Jesus's compassion. You cannot do the work of evangelism. You cannot do the work of outreach without having first compassion. There is an avenue that leads to everlasting life. We travel at high speeds, exposed to all the world of sinful life. And too many people miss the only exit that will assure them atonement for their sins. And this exit is Jesus Christ. How many know that the only door to salvation is Jesus? He is the door. He is the door to everlasting life. If anybody want to have real peace, true peace, everlasting peace, perpetual peace, endless peace, you must find Jesus. And if you find Jesus, you've just found everlasting peace. If you want peace, find Jesus, find Jesus, find Jesus. There is real peace in Jesus. Jesus is the only way. The only way. He's the keeper of our soul. Which brings me to principle number two, compassion. We must have compassion to teach. We should be compassionate about teaching people about Christ. Amen, somebody. You ought to have an enthusiasm, an excitement about teaching others about Christ. The world needs to know about Christ in the same way that you learned about Christ. Somebody told you about Jesus, so much so that it got down on the inside, and your soulish man, which is your will, your emotions, and your intellect, begin to become consumed with your love for Christ. Jesus was a teacher. That's the one thing that Jesus was significantly powerful in, and that is teaching others about the Father. He never exalted himself. He always told them about the Father. He taught them the way. He saw the overwhelming need of the people, but he did not respond with a weeping sense of pity. But he did not respond with pity. Instead, out of compassion for mankind, he saw a way to help their condition. He simply taught them the right way. You can do more for a person who is aggrieved, for a person who has hit rock bottom, by teaching them about Christ. It doesn't help for you to cry alongside them. Yeah, weeping may endure for a night, but the Bible says joy comes in the morning. When you get through crying with them and you wipe your eyes, begin to teach them the word of God. Jesus taught them. He made an impartation. He gave instruction. He gave direction. He simply taught them. And Jesus knew how to teach effectively. When his own disciples asked him how they should pray, what did Jesus do? He gave them a 30-second prayer that included the total concept of kingdom living. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He taught them how to pray. Jesus knew how to communicate the great truths of eternity in simple terms. People need to be taught about Jesus. In the Old Testament, those great truths were They were taught in the book of Lamentations throughout the five chapters. This gives hope to Judah during her captivity in Babylon that they needed something to hold on. And so what did they have? They had these five poems in Lamentations. In other words, using the 22-letter Hebrew alphabet, in the first four poems, the first verse begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each verse follows the alphabetical order consecutively to the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You're wondering what this has to do with Jesus and his compassion to teach. The alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet goes from Alpha to Tau. When we consider that Jesus is Alpha and Omega, he's the first and the last, and he's everything in between. That simply means it does not matter what you find yourself in today. Doesn't matter the problem, the sickness, the ailment. Jesus has an answer for your problem. Jesus has the antidote to your problem. He has the solution to anything and everything that you could ever go through. Jesus, there's a song that says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Both testaments are telling us that there are no words that are outside of Christ's authority and power. Jesus is the answer. That's just the conclusion of the whole matter, is that Jesus is the animal and is the answer for the world today. What's wrong with our government? Jesus is the answer. What's the matter with politics? Jesus is the answer. What's wrong with our school system? Jesus is the answer. He's Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the bishop of our soul. He is our great redeemer. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the great I am. He is the lily of the valley. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He is a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He is a way out of no way. He is the God, the Lord that heal it. Jesus is the answer. There may be some letters you are facing today, but I come to tell you that Jesus' seal is the answer. He is the answer for your troubles. He's the answer for this troubled world. He is the answer for whatever you're going through, which brings me to my final point in my message. Principle number three is that compassion is to heal. That Jesus is able to heal through compassion itself. In our text, Mark focuses on Jesus' teaching response to the feeding of 5,000. Now, one thing that you got to understand about this, that in the process of Jesus feeding the 5,000, he was also healing sick. We tend to miss that. It's in Matthew 14:14. The Bible says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." In other words, while he was feeding, he was healing, he was saving, he was delivering, he was doing whatever needed to be done. Why? Because he was teaching them. But in Matthew, we see a different focus here. The writer focuses on Jesus' healing response in Matthew 14:14. In a crowd of 5,000 men, there is no doubt that it had its share of wounded, sick, and hurting people. Jesus' demonstration of compassion was not just a how-to manual for eternal life. In other words, many times we spend so much time trying to get people saved that we miss the fact that they are hungry. We miss the fact that they need to be clothed. We miss the fact that they need prayer for healing because we're so concerned about their soul. But have you ever thought that if you clothe someone who needs salvation, they're going to follow you? See, people gave up their jobs to follow Jesus. Why? Because they understood that he was the solution to their problem. And we got to understand something about that word salvation in the Greek. That word salvation doesn't just mean salvation from sin, but it also encompasses healing. It encompasses deliverance. It encompasses peace that surpasses all understanding and a joy that is overflowing. So what the Bible is saying, that whatever you need, Jesus has it. You don't have to put salvation off on them. Just meet the need at the time, whatever the need is at the moment. If someone needs to be clothed, you ought to do what Jesus would do. Take off your coat. Don't say, this is my good suit. In other words, he gave real relief to those in need. He met them at their need. He didn't ask, are you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you been baptized in water? Do you have a burning fire? What church do you belong to? No, he didn't ask them any of those problems. He just met their need at the time. That's what compassion does. That's what genuine compassion and empathy does for people. As believers, we must understand the significance of caring, of a caring touch. Having a caring touch. They teach this in medical school. They teach doctors and nurses how to have what's called bedside manners. In other words, they not only are they administering medicine, not only are they administering surgical procedures, but they have good bedside manners. It is important. And as ministers of the gospel, as Christians, we have to make sure that we have good bedside manners, that we're not pushing our agenda off on people. But we are to give them Christ. Give them Christ. Christ knows what we have need of before we ask. Give people Jesus. Give people Jesus. Give people Jesus. Give them Jesus and they'll thank you for it. Tell them about how God is able to become a water in the wilderness. Tell them how God is a way out of no way. Tell them how God is bread when they're hungry, water when they're thirsty. Tell them how God is a balm in Gilead. Tell them how God can give them peace that surpasses all understanding. Tell them how God can make a way even when they're seems to be no way. Tell them how God is able to heal their brokenness, how God is able to give peace to a storm. Tell them that how over 2,000 years ago Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Tell them that Jesus took stripes in his flesh for their healing. Tell them how the blood that was shed covers them and protects them. Tell them. Tell them, let them know that Jesus can heal their brokenness and heal their soul. Tell them that Jesus is able to heal them from any crisis and give them comfort. Tell them that Jesus is the answer to the hopeless and the helpless, the cast out and the cast aside. Jesus is the answer. He's able to heal the aggrieved. He's able to show you glory. He's able to heal the defeated and give you deliverance. He's able to lift your burdens and grant you blessing. Jesus is able to heal your fears and give you faith. Jesus is able to do the impossible for you. He's able to heal your turmoil and teach you how to trust. Is there anybody here who's learned how to trust, lean and depend on Jesus? And if you trust in him, He'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert when you learn how to put all of your trust in him. Not some of your trust, but when you learn how to put all of your trust in him, trusting in the Lord. Oh God, he will make a way for you. He will show up for you. He'll bring you out of trouble. He'll give you peace while you're going through. He'll give you joy in sorrow. He'll give you hope for tomorrow. He'll give you a way out of nowhere. He'll help you understand that even while you're in it, you can praise God, even from a bad place. Even while you're struggling, you can bless the Lord. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, not just when I'm up, not just when I'm down, but I will bless him. Come on, I will bless him at all when trouble come knocking. I will bless the Lord at all when I get a bad report from the doctor. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Look at your neighbor and tell him you got to learn how to bless him in the good time. Come on, learn how to bless him in the bad time. Learn how to bless him when you've been rejected. Learn how to bless him when they scandalize your name. Learn how to bless the name of the Lord. Learn how to bless him, because he'll make a way for you. He'll bring you out of trouble. He will heal your body. He'll perform a miracle for you. He'll make a way for you. Is there anybody here who can testify right now that God is a way maker, that God is a burden lifter, that God is a lifter up of your soul? Is there anybody here who can testify and say, when you were sick, he healed you? When you were low, he lifted you. When you were broke, he paid you. Is there anything too hard for God? Go ahead and bless him. Go ahead and magnify him. Go ahead and shabak him. Let the redeemed, I feel like preaching, of the Lord say so. Is there anybody here who's ever been redeemed from the hand of your enemy? Come on and bless the name of the Lord. Come on and shabak the name of the Lord. Come on, the devil meant it for evil. But why don't you testify to your neighbor? Tell him, the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. The enemy meant it to destroy me, but look at your neighbor and tell him, look at me now. God turned it around and he worked it for my good. Is there anybody here who can shout right there and say, the enemy meant it for bad. The enemy meant it to destroy me. The enemy meant it to tear me down. But I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Is there anybody here who was like that puppy? That puppy who was kept in the back of the store because he was too ugly. He was too crippled. He was cast aside. They said he would never be purchased. They said he was worthless, hopeless, and helpless. But somebody came looking for you. You ought to give God praise that Jesus came looking for you. You ought to give God praise that Jesus said, you're the one that I want. That Jesus said, you're the one that I'm looking for. That's why the scripture said he'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Is there anybody here who can praise God? You used to be weighted down with the cares of this life. You used to be burdened by the destruction of this life. But God gave you beauty. Tell your neighbor, he'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See, when you have the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of heaviness won't allow you to praise God. It'll have you in a spirit of bondage. But when God looses you, when he frees you. For the scripture say, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. High five your neighbor and tell him, I'm free indeed. Come on, high five somebody and tell them, I'm free indeed. I'm free indeed. I'm free indeed. Come on, I can praise God from the depths of my spirit. I can give God praise because I'm free indeed. For whom the Son makes free. For whom the Son makes free. Is free indeed. You ought to bless the name of God. Come on, magnify the Lord. Come on, clap your hands. All ye people, shout unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Give God praise. I'm free to praise him. I'm free to clap my hands. I'm free to rejoice. I'm free to celebrate. I'm free to magnify God. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, give God praise. Give him praise. For giving you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thanks be to God who given us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, praise his name. Whatever you're going through right now, you ought to give God praise that you're going through it. And you're not stuck in it. You ought to give God praise for many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God shall deliver us out of them all. Weeping may endure for a night. Look at your neighbor and tell them, but joy. But joy. I feel like preaching. But joy. It's coming in the morning. Who satisfied my mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. God is going to show up in you. He's going to show up around you. He's going to show up in you. God is going to show up. David said, it's a good thing that I was afflicted. Anybody with that testimony? Anybody who could say it was a good thing for me that I was afflicted? It was a good thing for me that I might learn thy statutes. It was good for me because now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser. Now I'm better. Now I have a testimony. And my testimony is, after all, I feel like preaching, that I've been through, look at your neighbor and tell him I still have joy. After all that I've been through, I still have a testimony. After all that I've been through, I still have a smile on my face. After all that I've been through, I still have joy. We're standing. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. We're standing all over the room. Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, I'm still holding on. The old folk used to say, I'm yet holding on. Ask your neighbor, what are you holding on to? Tell them, I'm holding on to overwhelming victory. In other words, there's a victory on me that has overwhelmed me. There's a victory on me that has overtaken me. I'm holding on to overwhelming victory. You ought to give God a praise if that's you. And this overwhelming victory is holding down everything in my life. Look at your neighbor, tell them, when I would have given up, victory is holding me. When I would have thrown in the towel, tell your neighbor, overwhelming victory is holding me. That's why Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in me shall perform it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God started it and he's going to finish it. Come on, tell a neighbor, another neighbor, God started it and he's going to finish it. He put enough grace on you. You ought to give God a praise and all these blessings. Look at your neighbor and tell him, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord, prophesy to your neighbor and tell him, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kin, and the flock of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Prophesy to your neighbor, tell him, you're blessed, blessed, blessed. Come on, you ain't got to touch him. You ain't got to touch nobody, but turn to your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, I pronounce a Pentecostal blessing over your life. I pronounce overwhelming victory over your life. I pronounce overwhelming miracles over your life. Now give God a praise for your neighbor. Just point at somebody and say, victory. Come on, tell them, receive victory now. Come on, tell them, receive victory. I declare victory over your life. I declare everything that the enemy meant for bad is being destroyed, because I prophesy victory over your life. I pronounce victory. Somebody just shout victory. Yeah, for the person who's going through right now, for the person who has to go to the doctor this week, prophesy victory. Thank you. victory. I feel victory. I feel victory. If you feel victory, I dare you to start walking in these aisles and just shout victory, victory, victory. Come on, move around, move around. Victory, victory. Oh, na 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 na. Hey, ma na na na. Victory. There's victory coming. There's victory coming. Oh my na 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 na. Oh my na na. Oh my na na na. Victory. Victory. Be loosed.